Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Well, we continue to look at everything happening with the economy, where unemployment is, where some of the successes that President Biden is wanting to tout as he rolls into re-election cycle. And then, of course, we have the sticky part of the economic data, which shows that inflation has not been this transient thing. It's sort of being a sticky, maybe even a hunkered down kind of thing. And so we want to dig into all of those numbers. And as always, we turn to Jeff Cox, the economics editor at CNBC.com, best in the business. Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Boyd. Good to be here.
All right. So give us the breakdown. All the data is showing that this does appear to be at least sticky, if not stubborn.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk lately about this sort of last mile that the Fed is trying to navigate as it brings inflation back down to 2%. What this last mile is actually turning into is sort of the last marathon. it's really become very difficult. You know, we saw inflation come down from that high, skyrocketing levels back in mid-2022. We were up around 9%. Now we're back down around 3%. The problem is we're not really moving from there. So last week we got the PCE headline and core data is just showing that those numbers really didn't move at all on a 12-month basis in March and continue to march higher on a monthly basis. When you start to really peel back the layers of the onion, all of these kind of little things that the Fed looks at, the core and what they call super core, which is like services ex housing, and it's just none of it is saying that we're getting back to 2% anytime soon. So this creates a pretty big policy headache for them, and I guess we'll learn what their thoughts are on in a couple days.
Yeah, so as you look forward to that in terms of what they are likely to do, most suspecting they'll probably just hold their ground for a moment and hopefully not give any hints of an increase. I don't know that the markets would love that this time of year. But as you look at that, give us a sense in terms of what's keeping things kind of in that space. Is it the money still kind of cruising around in the system? Is it people are borrowing? Where are we?
It's several different factors, and a couple of the ones that you just mentioned there are really playing a big role. Look, there's still a ton of money out there that's going through the financial system. All of that financial stimulus is still out there. There's still a fair amount of excess savings in bank accounts. Shoppers are really spending a lot. And in fact, three of the last 4 months, people have been spending more money than they're taking in. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that that's not a sustainable condition. You just can't keep doing that month after month. We saw the monthly savings rate go down to 3.2%, which is the lowest since October 2022, which is also not a good sign. We're seeing now delinquencies on credit cards and adjustable rate loans going higher and higher. So those things are all happening. It just really adds up right now to a tough situation for policymakers. And then, of course, what's happening in Washington now is that they're still spending like crazy. We keep seeing those national debt numbers go higher. We're looking at probably close to something in the likes of a $2 trillion budget deficit this year. So none of these things are disinflationary just continuing to snowball.
Yeah, we always talk about the fact that the math always wins. And if you keep spending more than you bring in, ultimately the math will win and the insurance or the interest rate will kill you even faster. as you look at that that savings rate, that's one that was really a red flag to me looking at the numbers and some of your analysis on this. Kind of break that down for us in terms of how you see that playing forward, and then what's that trickle down going to be if we continue to spend more than we got, the savings is going down, and then those defaults on credit cards and payments, where does that ultimately put us, and how will that impact the policymakers?
Well, the consumer is really the straw that stirs the drink as far as the U.S. economy goes. It's responsible. Consumers responsible for 2/3 of all economic activity. We know that since this GDP figure that we just got, as disappointing as it was, it would have been worse had it not been for the fact that consumer spending kept things afloat. In fact, when you look at it in terms of contribution, pretty much this past quarter, the entire GDP gain was driven by consumer spending. So you can see where we go with this. If the consumer doesn't stay strong and prices stay high, that really spells some very bad things for the economy. Now, more bullish economists would look at that. Would look at these consumption figures and say, "Hey, nothing really here to see as far as the consumer goes, except for the second quarter of last year. We've seen really powerful consumer spending for the last about year and a half or so, and no relief, no ebbing in sight of that. But it's just." Like it's down to 3.2% savings rate. That's not a good not a good place to be. It really, what ends up happening is when you see these really low levels of savings rates, they end up being sort of leading indicators for a recession ahead. And then, of course, recessions come along, and then the savings rate spikes because people don't want to go out and spend money. They're afraid to. So the long range trend on this is not good.
Yeah, talk to us about the. We've always been talking about the possibility that we could bring this thing in for a really nice soft landing. Are we getting past that? Are we going to bounce?
That's a tough thing to say at this point. It certainly seemed a lot bright. Seemed a lot bright, better of a chance of that just a few months ago. Now it's starting to those chances are starting to dim. Some interesting comments last week from Jamie Dimon, of course, the CEO of J.P. Morgan. He was speaking to a conference, I think it was on Wednesday, and had made this comment basically that the economy was just unreal, that it was just, you couldn't believe how strong it was. And then the day later, he sits down for an interview with the Wall Street Journal, and he kind of sings from a very different hymnal and says that he's very worried about the level of government spending and the impact that's having on inflation and how tough this is on consumers. And he said his contention was that the market's pricing in about a 70% chance of a soft landing. And in his estimation, the actual chance of that happening was about half that. So, from one of the smartest financial minds in the world, that's not what you want to hear.
Yeah. I landed in San Diego Airport one time, and which is one of the hardest places to land a plane because of the crosswinds. Mm-hmm. And we came in and we bounced hard. And I remember walking off, and there was an old woman in front of me who walked up to the captain who was standing there at the front of the plane and said, "Excuse me, sir, did we land or were we shot down?" And I felt sorry for the pilot, but I sort of feel like that's where we're headed with the economy. Give us one last thing quick before I let you go in terms of what we should be watching. Obviously, in a couple of days, we'll hear some things. But what beyond that are you looking at that we should all be aware of?
Well, we've got a bunch of stuff going down in the near future. We've got, in addition to the Fed meeting, we've got some pretty important jobs reports this week. We get ADP and then the quits rates on Wednesday, and then we get to see what the non-farm payrolls report is for Friday. A couple things that I think in the near term that you want to watch out for. The one thing that the Fed is going to do this week, I think that there's a good chance that they won't change a word in their post-meeting statement, and then we'll listen to Powell afterwards. But I do think that we're going to get some guidance this week. They will announce the beginning of the end of QT, of quantitative tightening. So it'll be interesting to see how the market takes that, and whether kind of use it as a precursor for potential rate cuts at least somewhere down the road. And then, of course, it's going to be all about Powell and listening to the things that he has to say. And then once we get this meeting out of the way, of course, then we have this endless parade of Fed officials that will start coming out. And Lizanne Saunders and some others, Lizanne Saunders and Charles Schwab and some others like to call it now the Federal Open Mouth Committee. This is just all of this chatter, and it just sort of seems like sometimes it does more harm than good, but yeah. we'll be hearing a lot of that. So there will be kind of bottom line is there will be no shortage of news out there and then no shortage of things that we'll need to keep an eye on.
Well, good. That ensures that you're coming back on the show with us. So we appreciate
sure.
as always. Jeff
yeah.
Cox, best
Absolutely.
Of the best economics editor at CNBC.com. Thanks so much. We're going to step aside for a quick break, and we'll come back with more Inside Sources right here on KSL News Radio. Stick around.